Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Welcome to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and today I'm speaking with a member of a women's ministry at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Bloomington, Illinois, named Heart of the Catholic Woman, or HCW, and her name is Rachel Carrick Brucker. We're going to discuss what this group does, where it came from, why it's special, and how you can get involved, and much more. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on today, Paul.
Of course, the pleasure is all ours. So tell us, Rachel, what is this group, the Heart of the Catholic Woman?
Well, it's funny that you ask that because every time somebody asks me, what about this group? The first thing that always comes to mind is, well, the Heart of a Catholic Woman is really not that much different from the heart of most women. You know, I'm kind of broad brushstroking, but the group in particular at St. Mary's has been, it's a group that was formed about a month or two pre-COVID in 2020. We were just entering the Lenten season and we had about exactly two meetings and then everything, you know, just went by the wayside for a good 18 months or so. And so since then, last summer, we got back together. We were kind of trying to get our bearings because the group was brand new, really in its infancy. And there were two founding members, two women in our parish at St. Mary's, Ann Sharbeck and Bobby Hines. So after we were able to, you know, navigate COVID and, you know, start meeting in person again, Anne was still in our parish. She was still here, but Bobby had moved on. They retired. She moved to Florida. So Anne was kind of, you know, really leading this ministry on her own. And then tragically, Anne passed away very unexpectedly in April of 2022, I believe. Yeah, I'll have to get the facts on that. But So, yeah, sadly, Anne passed away very unexpectedly, and it kind of left us with this a void in the sense that we were really just getting going in this ministry. And so what's happened since then is it's really kind of defaulted to those folks that show up every month. And, we were really looking forward to growing this with Anne. She really had the vision and the mission and the perspective, I think, for where she wanted to take the group. And we're just trying to honor that. So, that's the long answer. We're still forming this mission. And I think the main thing that we're doing right now is just providing a consistent place of fellowship for women in the community, really. It's, you know, it's out of St. Mary's Parish. It's born out of our Catholic faith, but it's not, only for St. Mary's parishioners. It's not only for Catholic women. Our big dream, and this was certainly something that Anne and, you know, we talked with her about multiple times, is uniting women in the community, having some inter-parish kinds of fellowship, and just really elevating women and empowering each other as daughters of Christ. Which, in my 52 years of age, that's a different role than we tend to wear as women in the secular world. You know, it's a different identity, and it's certainly a much better identity. And so that's one of the biggest things in this group, is that we meet regularly once a month. And part of our meeting, we have what we have coined as a blessed brunch. You know, everybody likes to eat and talk and have coffee and all that kind of good stuff. But we're following a podcast right now called Abiding Together with Sister Miriam. Everybody loves Sister Miriam. And two other women, Heather Kim and Michelle Benzinger. And we then, you know, do the discussion questions as a group. And initially, personally, I was thinking, okay, well, what else are we going to do? And I'm, you know, I'm a big picture girl, so I like to think, you know, what can we do in this ministry that is engaging people in the community and some service stuff? Because, I mean, I'm a social worker by trade and by heart. I have that mission spirit, so I'm always chomping at the bit to do that kind of stuff. Hmm. But it's become pretty clear that we still have a lot of ministering to each other to do, just as women in general, but certainly women in our parish and in our church as Catholic women. And this is one of the best things that Anne taught me personally. You know, we had a lot of similar traits, if you will. I mean, she married later in life, didn't have biological children. I married later in life. I don't have biological mm-hmm. children. And just having that kind of identity with other women that you can look up to, that you know are walking a good walk, but it doesn't remove those trials. It doesn't remove the parts of your life that can be dark or go to those places where you don't want to camp out there too long. And sometimes we do. But that's what Anne's mission, well, Anne and Bobby, but Anne, you know, more recently, has really, what's the word I want to use? Fostered is this place that women of all ages, and I'd written in my notes, actually, in a blog I'm currently working on, the age range is like late 30s to 92. One of our dearest members, her name's Martha, and we joke about she's truly a Martha. I'm a Martha too, like Martha Mary, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much more of a Martha, plus I'm bossy. But Martha just turned 92, and it's like astounding. I mean, I can remember being a kid at St. Mary's School and having some of her kids in school there, but they were a little bit old, a couple classes ahead of me, but she was always a staple in our parish. And now here I am, 52 years old, still going to that church. Not that I haven't, you know, parted for, you know, not that I haven't had places where I haven't been as, you know, deeply in my faith, but here I am, 52 years old, going to this church. My husband teaches there, and I'm in this women's group with Martha, who I've known since I was a little girl. There's something pretty spectacular about that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting. This group sounds amazing. I have a lot of questions about what it is exactly okay. that you do. Let's start with this. You said it's a place for fellowship for women, mm-hmm. and you listen to a podcast and you discuss the questions that they presumably mention at the end of the podcast for you to discuss. What do those questions look like? What kind of things are you talking about?
Oh, man. Well, they're all really based in defining yourself as a woman, but through the roles, the Christian roles, right? So your role as a daughter of Christ, your role as a mother, not just biologically a mother to children, but how are we called to mother and nurture the world? How are we called to, you know, like Mother Teresa or, you know, me, myself, I was a social worker. So certainly the children I worked with over the years in child welfare, you know, I see it now more than I did when I was, you know, in my 30s, when I still thought I wanted to be a biological mother because I'm, you know, in my secular lens, mm-hmm. I wanted all those things that, you know, I thought I should have based on what, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. So in my, you know, growing up in the 80s and my teenage years, you know, you're thinking as you go through life in college, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids and everything's going to be rosy. Mm-hmm. And that isn't really how life goes for most people. So that's one of the other amazing things about this group is that the generational, stories and the ability to really lean in and learn from people and, know that you're not the only one that struggled with things about life, or you're not the only one that's had, you know, challenges in your marriage and in any, just anything, raising kids or having stepkids or not having kids or, mm-hmm. Having issues with your faith.
Right. I mean, I can't stress it enough. It's one thing I hear about it with men all the time. Community is so crucial to not just your mental health, but your spiritual health, even to your physical health. With women, you mentioned that sometimes we go to those dark places. We all absolutely do. And although you're with a community, the time, it might still be just as dark on your own, but it makes a heck of a difference to not be so lonely in that darkness, just to be around these women that care about you, and you're all together around something having to do with God. It's really a beautiful thing. And I was wondering if you could just talk about the value of simply being with other like-minded women or just other good women. How powerful is that and how important is that?
Well, gosh, I could speak volumes about this. I'm going to try to be succinct. For me personally, I'll share that it has saved my life spiritually.
Wow.
Truly. And I'll try to get through this without, you know, being emotional. Recently, my father passed away the day after my 52nd birthday. And I'm struggling, you know, with the selfish aspects of wanting him still here, right? Just, and my sisters, we talk, my mother, you know, we're doing well considerably, but, you know, we still wish he was here. But the day that he was passing, it was clear to me that it was only by God's divine mercy that he was taken so quickly, because he battled cancer for 7-8 months. And it was an unexpected death. It was very unexpected. He was having this amazing experience with treatment, and, you know, they were put him in maintenance. And then during the Christmas holiday time frame, he started having some breathing problems. And anyhow, his cancer was back with a vengeance. We were not prepared for that. And, you know, do I sometimes in my mind relive those days leading up to that very unexpected turn? Yes, 1,000% I do. But what has truly softened this walk in my journey, that has it's truly provided, like, the, you know, I think of the footprints in the sand. I don't mean to be trite, but I think of that beautiful prayer or poem or saying, whatever. Or you think about, like, the hands and feet of Christ, or sometimes I actually joke about this. Sometimes hearing and seeing God is kind of hard, because our human brains can't comprehend what, you know, we believe. It's hard. And I'd say if there was a burning bush, you know, then maybe it would be easier to know. But you don't have a burning bush in 2023. Mm-hmm. Or do you? I mean, it depends on how you define that. So from the days leading up to my dad's death, and certainly after, the amount of people that just showed up at my door, random cards, people that, and these are all women that have embraced me in our church, in our faith. And believe it or not, I'm one of the younger people in this group. I mean, the 50s and, like, the early 50s is probably teetering on the younger groups of women. But experientially, I'm super young. Like, I haven't been married that long. We've been 9 years, mm-hmm. compared to, you know, my Martha, who's 92. I don't know how many years Martha's been married, but it's a long time. And so to talk to somebody like Martha about her challenges as a woman, as a wife, in her faith, and to have any relevance in my life, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So when I say that the power of this group, it's not just the power of the group in the sense of we meet and we have, you know, a coffee cake and watch, you know, a podcast. It's really the ability that it's provided us, the ability to be completely safe but vulnerable, and to allow our authentic selves to truly shine.
What a gift. What a gift to everyone involved.
Yeah.
And isn't it so special when you're struggling to be able to talk to someone who everyone looks up to and admires, and understand that they too struggle with similar, very similar sometimes things, and you suddenly don't feel so alone. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, even I used to talk to Anne about this, you know, because we, like I said, we'd had similar, you know, backgrounds. Certainly these women that showed up and have been there to basically to just embrace me with prayer, with hugs, with tears, with silence, and just being, and, you know, processing things, not just in the more recent thing with, you know, with my dad, but over the last year and a half in these monthly sessions, that vulnerability is, it really transforms people. It really, because I'm starting to see that in other people that come to this group and that show up regularly each month, that share and express parts of themselves that they maybe, well, some have said, or I'm assuming, wouldn't feel that comfortable opening up in just any group of women. Does that make sense?
Oh, of course it does.
Yeah.
And maybe you could chalk some of that comfort up to the Holy Spirit being there. I mean, consider the source of this group meeting. It is the Catholic Church. It is St. Mary's. Yeah. It sounds like such a beautiful thing. And before we go to commercial break, I just want to make sure for people listening and who think this sounds intriguing, is this group still open? It's not closed off, is it?
It's not closed off. No, we would never be closed off.
All right.
Yeah. It'd be a good problem to have if we don't have enough tables to sit at. We'll figure that out. But no, it's open to anyone, any woman that wants to be in fellowship with other women that are just trying to walk the walk with Christ.
Understood. I'm going to ask you here in just a second about how someone goes about getting involved in this and becoming a member. But first, here are a few quick words from our beloved sponsors.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
This is it. The final performances ever in Bloomington, Illinois. This is the last season for the spectacular performances of the American Passion Play, the greatest story ever told.
The American Passion Play brings Christian history to life with authentic costumes, elaborate settings, and live animals. There's intrigue, drama, friendship, and as the plot unfolds, betrayal, sorrow, and love. You must see the American Passion Play before its final curtain falls at the Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington.
Viewed by generation after generation, this is theater at its best. Performance dates are March 11, 18, 25, and April 1st, and each performance begins promptly at 1 p.m. Reserve your American Passion Play tickets today by calling 309-829-3903.
This is an important message for DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, and Joliet listeners. Catholic Spirit Radio's recent purchase of a radio station in your area has been an expensive endeavor, but a worthwhile investment, because in this boisterous secular world, we want your community to hear more about the real truths and beauty of the Catholic faith. With the expansion in your area, we now need your added financial help to maintain it. It costs $7,000 a month to run Catholic Spirit Radio, even with our all-volunteer staff. Show us this station matters to you and the souls of your community. Become a first-time donor. Better yet, become a monthly donor. Join other listeners. When you pay your monthly bills, include a Catholic Spirit Radio donation. Mail to 108 Boykins Place in Normal, Illinois, 61761. Or click the donate button at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. No one at the station receives a salary, and all donations are tax deductible. Your donation keeps Catholic Spirit Radio in your community.
John Albee here. I've been a realtor for over 50 years, and I love helping people buy and sell homes. Team Albee, the only name you may ever need in real estate. 309-275-5646.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catholic Conversations. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and I am talking to Rachel Carrick Brucker of the Heart of the Catholic Woman, which is a ministry, a women's ministry at St. Mary's here in Bloomington, Illinois. Rachel, we were just talking about, you said the group is not closed off. It's still open to members. It's doing well. How does someone reach out to you if they are interested in this ministry and becoming a member?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to look for the easiest thing to do is to look for us on Facebook, or let me back up. Mm. One of the easiest things to do would be to come over to St. Mary's and go to Mass. Mm. You can usually find me and some of my other friends at Heart of the Catholic Woman at the 8:30 Mass on Sundays, and we'd be happy to chat with you there. But if you go to the St. Mary's website, and I can put, if we have show notes, we can put the St. Mary's web address in there and stuff, but you can go there and register to be, you could just sign up for one of the blessed brunches that's upcoming, and then you just become a member. Then you're in the list of the distribution list. It's really not very, formal, but yeah, then once we have your information, you're just invited every month and you can come. We hope you come. Lots of people come pretty regularly, but the way that we structure these sessions, you know, around the podcast and the questions, sometimes they build, like the series will build, but it's really not necessary. It's not going to be a problem if you miss like the prior month. Don't feel mm-hmm. like you can't come because, oh, they're still talking about the bride series or the daughter series, which is what we had just been working through with the Abiding Together ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when, I don't know if I missed it, but do you meet on the same day, same time, once a month?
Generally, yes. We are formally scheduled the third Saturday of every month at okay. St. Mary's in our parish hall, otherwise known as the church basement, from 9 to 11. Now, a good reason to be in our distribution list is so that we can inform of any schedule changes because we have had to make some adjustments. For example, February, we pushed it out to the fourth week because of the Teens Encounter Christ Tech Weekend. And one of the ladies in the group that's pretty much runs it right now, because we're just, you know, we're sharing that, if you will. She was the leader of tech, so we needed to push it out. And then this month in March, it is also going to be the fourth weekend, which would be March 25th, because the kids are going through, the school children are going through a retreat for confirmation mm-hmm. that weekend at church.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Understood. It's best to get on that mailing list type thing.
Yep.
And you meet on the third Saturday of every month from 9 to 11 in the parish hall, a.k.a. the parish basement. Understood. Got it. And we'll yep. include something hopefully in the show notes.
Yep.
During the break, we were talking about the value of speaking vulnerably to women that you trust about your problems. And one of the things that we agreed on was no one is perfectly lit in all the chambers of their heart. Some are lacking, some are darkened in some areas. Maybe it has something to do with their sense of value as a woman, their sense of value as a wife, as a mother. I know a lot of women, sadly, who really feel like they don't have much value because, and you've spoken about it a little bit, maybe they aren't a mother for some reason or another, maybe they can't become a mother. That is a thing that really hurts women, and it seems that nothing really helps them more than speaking to another woman who's dealt with the same thing, who has light in that area. And we talked about
how someone might have light in a chamber that someone does not have light. And the weird thing about light is it can shine into that dark chamber and not lose its own luster. So do you agree with that? And maybe if you'd be willing, have you ever seen that type of thing happen in this ministry? And could you tell us about one?
Yeah, certainly. I do agree with that. I do agree. I think that what you're saying about the light and not, you know, you're not always lit in all the places at the same time. I think that's pretty much the human condition, right? That really resonated with me. And the thing about this group is that most of us are coming to this with parts of our, with some of our lights dimmer. Sometimes, you know, you come and you're super bright. Sometimes you're not. And what happens, or what I've certainly experienced and what I've witnessed in other women and what they're saying is that, you know, they're getting their lights are being, you know, maybe they're getting new batteries or something. What do I want to say? Like they're getting rejuvenated there. They're getting, you know, refreshed, if you will. A woman actually said this week that she was feeling heavy when she came. It's not that I didn't want to come, because I did, but man, I came here feeling kind of heavy and I'm leaving here feeling so light and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It's like your cup is filling up.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about when you fill up a cup with grace is it gets lighter.
Yeah.
Strange thing.
Right?
Not like liquid.
Exactly.
But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and I think the other thing, I wanted to make sure I say this, and I feel like probably one of my friends will think I'm saying it directly to her, but I'm saying this to pretty much all women, or really if I'm talking more broadly about just, you know, just not even women, but just men and women who have, you know, either fallen away from the church, or you've gone to a place in your life where you're not regularly attending church, or you're not connected to a faith community. There's this pervasive feeling in like you have to be a certain way to be in a church. I'm not like the people that come to church. Well, that makes me crack up, because I used to think that actually, but, that's the other beauty of this group is through the Holy Spirit and through grace, you're able to be your true vulnerable self, right? And there's so much honesty there that really provides that lens for those other people. Like, again, in this group of women, it's not us really sharing. I mean, we're sharing. It's our journey. It's our walk. But it's really how we're moved and how we're called in those moments that provide those lights. So then when I think about that in the broader perspective, and I think about people that are not coming to church because, you know, maybe they're in a place in their life where they're camping out in that dark space too long. We've all been there. Like, you know, I wish everybody could just stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm a sinner. And, you know, if you look at who Jesus hung out with, that's the other thing. I mean, look who he chose to be the leader of the church, you know, Peter. So, but it's hard to look at that and, you know, think about that from like scripture and church history, when you just want to know, like, people, there's got to be relevance in your life today. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody that listens to this that knows me deeply, they've probably been in some of my dark places. So if I can be rejuvenated and be, you know, moving through a recent death of my father, but still feel like the Holy Spirit daily, even in the moments in the days, then there's hope for everyone. That's what I want to say. And I also, we have this little joke, like if you've ever been a Weight Watcher, myself, and if you've ever like gone, a lot of us have this, you go and then you disappear for a while and then you come back and it's kind of like, oh gosh, I'm going to go back, but I want to lose a little bit before I go back. I don't want people to see me like up this amount. And I joke, I'm like, and when I was in Weight Watchers meetings, I would say, it's like coming to church. It's like, you don't say you got to get holy before you come to church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you are, you know, if you have substance abuse difficulties, you don't get sober before you go to a program.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. So it's, we need to train our minds to know that if you're feeling dark, the best place to be is in church and open to connecting with other people that are probably experiencing darkness too.
Right. And you know what? This is interesting. This might come off as a bit extreme, but on my podcast, I've talked to an exorcist and I've listened to other podcasts with real, true Catholic exorcists. One of the things they talk about, the first way that the devil and any demons are going to influence you is through your mind, through your own thoughts or what seem like your own thoughts. But neuroscience, psychology, they tell us thoughts pretty much just fly by and it's just however much you want to pay attention to them that that determines how much they will affect you. And one of the most effective things the devil can do is make us feel really bad about ourselves and make us feel like we're not worthy. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Fulton Sheen even says this. If he can make you feel like you're unworthy to go to confession, is the example he gives, the devil's loving that. You're not worthy. You can't go. You're so messed up. You're going to abuse this sacrament. You just don't deserve to go. Other women don't want to hear about your problems. They have it all together. You're the one who's messed up. You can't go. Just stay away. Stay in the dark place all by yourself. Just do that. It's we see it everywhere. It's kind of mysterious though, but when you call it out, you start to see it mm-hmm. everywhere. And I can't help but I don't want to be one of those people that says it's like Satan's right there all the time, but maybe he is. And it just seems like these groups, this communion of women that are striving to be better and they're not giving into that feeling of pride, like, oh, I can't go here, it'll be humiliating. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, exactly when they overturn that pride and they push through that pride and say, I'm going here and I'm being vulnerable. We talked a little bit about the value of being truly vulnerable. The Holy Spirit can't dwell within you if there's too much pride. I think that's why we kind of have to go to confession and say it to a priest, because that's humiliating. It'd be way easier just to say it, you know, fold your hands and say it in your head. But I'm going on a tangent here, but I just can't get over how beautiful and how important and powerful it is for you women to get together. Mm-hmm. I just love that. I love that. And my question is, how are the numbers looking? Are you growing? How does it compare to pre-pandemic numbers?
Well, I would say pre-pandemic, there was a, in the very first session, there was a, oh, I mean, I'm terrible at math, but numbers wise, I mean, probably maybe 40 people in one session. And then now we're still seeing probably 30 women, 25, 30 women show up. I mean, we've had light months where, you know, either, you know, it's summer and people are off with their, you know, kids on spring, you know, summer break, what have you, or, you know, weather kind of things. But mm-hmm. for the most part, it's I would say it's growing. I don't, it's definitely not dwindling, that's for sure, which is beautiful. Selfishly, I need those women in my life so they can't go anywhere.
Got it. Well, where do you want this ministry to be in the next year? What do you want it to look like? Do you want to see certain changes or improvements?
I think we'll keep the core tenets of, you know, using the materials that we, you know, we have so much available to us today. Like, you know, there's podcasts and there's, you know, we, you know, you've got Father Mike Schmitz, you've got all this relevant stuff that is so easy to relate to. And so we will continue to do that, you know, to study and to, like right now, there's some of us that have branched off and are doing like a Lenten book study. But I think we're still looking at the ways that we can continue to minister to one another. But I think even more importantly, as we continue to foster each other, foster that, you know, strengthen one another and build each other up, then my hope as a social worker is that we'll also, you know, get into some more outreach type things and mm-hmm. look for other ways to even serve the church outside of just this circle. And to align that with some of the things that the diocese, I think, is doing with their growing disciples And yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of untapped potential in women, in, well, women in general, but that's a different conversation. But, you know, just with women in the church. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be clergy to be very influential in shaping other people's faith walks, you know? And I think that me personally coming to terms with that has been huge is, you know, I am getting, you know, I mean, yes, I'm not saying don't go to confession, but I'm also saying that this is a good prep for confession is having just practicing authenticity, right? Practicing that vulnerability. Nobody really likes to go there and talk about things that are uncomfortable because you do get stuck in that shame place. And like you were saying, I mean, I believe that Satan wants to keep us, you know, weighted down with that stuff. But the more that you can align yourselves with people that are, again, we're not holy and without blemish. We're striving to be holy and, you know, fill the gaps in our life with Christ and not other things that take us in the wrong direction. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. A saint is not someone who's perfect. It's a sinner who keeps on trying.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. And I liked what you said about you don't have to be clergy to have a profound impact on someone's life. I'm a big person for stories. Mm-hmm. And feel free if you want to change names, change details or anything. But can you think of any stories of someone who you mentioned that you yourself have been saved from this ministry? Has anyone else that you know in that group voice that they too have been greatly, maybe even saved, but greatly assisted in getting through a hard time because of this community?
Well, I mean, practically every woman there that I speak with personally, I mean, you know, there's the normal chit chat before you actually sit down and get into it, right? So there's that where people, you know, tend to share. But then when you really get into more of the discussion questions and really focusing, the questions that, you know, cause you're going through this whole podcast, right? And again, Sister Miriam's there. So, I mean, just understanding her background and her experiences, it's a lens that allows us to kind of say, oh, okay. Like you can kind of take off that shame for at least for 2 hours here. And there are women that are saying, you know, I was hesitant to share this, but I really feel like, you know, you women are, you know, lifting me up, or I know that you join me in prayer, or I know that that you understand this because you've shared. And then when you start to see these women at Mass and you're like, oh yeah, I've always been a person that, you know, I've kind of got a little ADD and I've got, you know, some things with I've got an active brain and some of my friends will crack up when they hear this, but, so I've really struggled at Mass sometimes. Like if there's kids that are too noisy, or then I think, oh gosh, I'm that old single lady that's like, you know, got that stern face or whatever. But I've struggled with that. And so then when you are at this, when you're in this space with these women, and then you grow with them, you get to know them better, you know, you're embracing them, you're embracing their story. Somehow, if they're little kiddos or acting up in church, it's not as distracting, or you're not meeting that with the same ickiness that I admittedly have and struggle with, you know?
You have a little more peace, it seems like.
Thank you for reframing that. Yes, it's definitely more peace. I mean, in fact, here's a great example. There was, this was a while ago, it might have been over the summer, but there was a woman that brought a child out into the vestibule, and this little one was like, you know, wreaking havoc, really throwing a fit and tantruming. And my first instinct was not like, oh geez. My first instinct was to go to this person who I didn't even know. I've never seen her. So that was the other thing. It's like, what are we going to model to somebody who may be coming to this, to church for the first time, let alone to St. Mary's for the first time? My first instinct was to say, can I help you? And just to kind of get down and talk to this little person. And did I think, oh God, she's going to look at me and be like, lady, mind your own business. Sure. But I went with it, you know, and I would have normally not done that. So I think, this group is softening me. And, you know, maybe another episode or maybe in a blog or something, you know, I've spent the first half of my life building the armor, and I'm spending the next half of it tearing it down. And so you don't do that very easily without having a Christ-centered life and having those anchors and lighthouses around you. And there are women in this group that have been my friends longer, you know, way before this group formed, that have seen me in my darkest places, that have continued to embrace me despite sometimes my, you know, being negative about my life circumstances and not seeing how to take that to the cross. I used to get upset about that. Like, what do you mean take it to the cross? What does that even mean? You know, right? I mean, we could do a whole topic on that, like to really break that down and unpack it. But my dad died on January 16th. And I know what that means. And I know what that means not only because my suffering and my ability to be vulnerable and have these people comfort me that I trust because we're one in Christ, but it also, you know how the Lord works. I mean, I've recently had two other people that have lost fathers in the last month. And, you know what it's like. You know what their next steps are going to be. You know how to take your suffering and join it with theirs. And I never understood that.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And we have just a few more minutes left. We're going to cut to commercial, and I have a few last questions for you.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these short messages from our beloved sponsors.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Anne
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
This is it, the final performances ever in Bloomington, Illinois. This is the last season for the spectacular performances of the American Passion Play, the greatest story ever told.
The American Passion Play brings Christian history to life. With authentic costumes, elaborate settings, and live animals, there's intrigue, drama, friendship, and as the plot unfolds, betrayal, sorrow, and love. You must see the American Passion Play before its final curtain falls at the Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington.
Viewed by generation after generation, this is theater at its best. Performance dates are March 11, 18, 25, and April 1st. And each performance begins promptly at 1 p.m. Reserve your American Passion Play tickets today by calling 309-829-3903.
This is an important message for DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, and Joliet listeners. Catholic Spirit Radio's recent purchase of a radio station in your area has been an expensive endeavor, but a worthwhile investment, because in this boisterous secular world, we want your community to hear more about the real truths and beauty of the Catholic faith. With the expansion in your area, we now need your added financial help to maintain it. It costs $7,000 a month to run Catholic Spirit Radio, even with our all-volunteer staff. Show us this station matters to you and the souls of your community. Become a first-time donor. Better yet, become a monthly donor. Join other listeners. When you pay your monthly bills, include a Catholic Spirit Radio donation. Mail to 108 Boykins Place in Normal, Illinois, 61761. Or click the donate button at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. No one at the station receives a salary, and all donations are tax deductible. Your donation keeps Catholic Spirit Radio in your community.
John Albee here. I've been a realtor for over 50 years, and I love helping people buy and sell homes. Team Albee, the only name you may ever need in real estate. 309-275-5646.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catholic Conversations. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and I am speaking with Rachel Carrick Brucker of Heart of the Catholic Woman here in Bloomington. We were talking just a little bit ago about what's it mean to say, take it to the cross. You hear people say this when you're in a dark time, take it to the cross. Well, I would if I could, but it's not exactly as simple as taking a box of clothes to the Salvation Army or the nearby Goodwill. So what do you make of that? Because apparently you've heard that before as well.
Yes, I have heard that before. I've heard that a few times. And it used to kind of tick me off because I didn't quite understand it. And I also felt like, and this isn't really what was happening, but in the story I was telling myself, is that I was being told or comforted, however you want to frame that, to be okay with what I was experiencing because, you know, it's definitely nothing compared to what Christ suffered for us, but that's so hard to comprehend as a human being. Like, if your heart is broken or you're really experiencing troubles in your life, taking it to the cross, it's not like a snap of the finger or a switch that you flip.
Right.
And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Jesus died for us. I'm not going to be sad anymore. It doesn't work that way. And I think the way that I understand that for myself today, and it's really become so apparent to me through this experience of losing our father, is that when people say that, what I believe what really is meant, the true sentiment of that, the spirit of that, is that when you say, take it to the cross, you're joining your suffering with someone else, you know, or you're joining your suffering, certainly with Christ. Like when you talk to Jesus, when you pray, you know, that's a way of taking it to him. But joining your suffering with other people's suffering is a way of healing the world. And I mean, maybe that's a little dramatic, but think about that. So what I literally said this out loud to myself not that long ago. I said, oh, wait, you know, when people say that, it's like, well, wait, God doesn't give us suffering. You know, God doesn't give us world disasters and shootings and, you know, and I don't want to go into all of that, but like, that's been a place where I've struggled to defend my faith. You know, well, if God was real, why did he do that? And, you know, you're kind of dumbfounded. Like, why did my child die? Or why did my, you know, why did this happen? Why did this hurricane just, you know, kill thousands of people?
Horrible things happening to good people. Why?
Why? How? Right. And so what I understand is that that's not God. That's not him saying, let's have these people suffer and teach them something. But the beauty and the grace is when you experience suffering that is not from God, when you experience that, then you learn that, or you feel, I hope you feel that it's God's grace that heals you and moves you through that suffering, that makes you whole again. Mm. And then you can take that healing and you can take your suffering and your healing and your experiences, those lived experiences, and then you can serve others through their pain and suffering. Because if there's anything that helps you is knowing somebody else has walked a mile in your shoes, so to speak.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of priests will say, theologians too will say something like, God usually lets suffering occur out of his permissible will. He doesn't will it into being like, here is some suffering, but he permits it to happen because he gives us free will. He gives free will to the laws of the universe and everything. And it happens as a product of man and nature's incompleteness and imperfection. But to think that maybe he allows it oftentimes, although it hurts us and he knows it will, to bring about a greater good, it kind of redeems the suffering in the first place. And not only that, Fulton Sheen says the majority of our suffering as men and women is not necessarily a product of the circumstance, but a product of our own thinking. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of saints. One of my favorite saints, St. Lawrence, the patron saint of comedians, was being roasted alive just for being Catholic, burned alive in this little cage. And when he was roasting, he said, turn me over, I'm done on this side, kind of as a joke.
Oh my gosh.
And they did. And he laughed the whole way. It was this attitude. If you think suffering, I mean, our suffering usually can't compare to being burned alive. However, although we'd all think that's suffering, his attitude made it so that it really wasn't suffering. And it goes back to Fulton Sheen. Most of the suffering that we endure is a product of our own thinking and maybe even our unwillingness to trust and just relax and give it to God, whatever that means. Again, one of those, you know, one of those woo-woo types of sayings. But you know what? The more when you really start to think about them, they start to make sense.
Yeah. I love that you're using examples of saints and you know, scripture, and I'm not, you're like way smarter than me on that stuff, obviously, but
they have a Fulton Sheen book of quotes here that I read.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, good. But I know you're inspiring me to do more reading in that way. But what I'm going to say is that what you're saying that's based in, you know, saints and, you know, true stories, I'm just a regular person telling you that I felt it. That's how I know. And I didn't believe it was even possible. I mean, that's the other thing that's so astounding is that I'm just a regular person trying to row my boat through life without a paddle some days. And I felt it. I feel it. I know it's true.
It's always fun when you hear someone else confirm it, especially holy people and saints.
Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff. Few more questions before we go ahead and wrap this whole thing up. What if a man wants to sign up for this? Is it no?
Well, probably not. I mean, I will say my sweet dear husband makes the coffee. We always love to have men. You know, that's a great, you know, that I'm going to think on that. I've thought about inter-parish events. I would love for there to be a heart of the Catholic man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've kind of hinted that to my husband a couple of times. But I think situationally that is a good thing to think about.
Sure.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about men a lot of the time is they think that it's wimpy maybe to get together and talk about problems. Are you kidding me? I don't have problems or feelings, you know? So Yep, I think that's a good thing. I know Epiphany Catholic Church had something like that before the pandemic, and it was really beautiful. Communion between men and women, because there's this radical notion now that men and women, they actually are different. I shouldn't say there's a radical notion now. There always has been, but it's radical to say now. Men and women have different minds, and they really do well together when mm-hmm. they talk about their problems. Because as you know, if you go to a man with your problems, sometimes they just don't give the right response.
That's right.
You know, or they try to give some advice maybe. Yeah. And for some reason, that doesn't work all the yeah. time. But yeah, I think it's great for a group of men to get together and just get together mm-hmm. and talk about who knows what, good things, their problems, whatever. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think someone should get on that. So right. I agree with you. I think someone should get on that. Is there anything that you maybe we didn't cover that you'd like listeners to know who think this is interesting? They're picking up what you're putting down here. Anything else you'd like to add on?
I would just say if you are struggling, if you are in a place in your life where you have turned away from the church because either something that, you know, something about the church that you are stuck on, or, you know, you've struggled with that, or you don't feel like you're good enough to come back to church, please come. And please know that we all, every single one of us struggles and makes bad choices and gets through our day and thinks, oh, I could have done that one better. You're really cutting yourself off from living by not allowing yourself to be connected to people that are really interested in loving you and helping you get closer to Jesus.
Beautiful. And how do people contact you again if they want to become a part of this?
I can put my email address in the show notes, and there's a Facebook group. And again, the website for St. Mary's Church has a section where you can sign up for the next Blessed Brunch for Heart of the Catholic Woman.
Perfect. All right. Heart of a Catholic Woman, that is the name of this beautiful ministry. You've got the numbers. You've got a great group of people there getting together on the third Saturday of every month, 9 to 11 in the parish basement at St. Mary's. Roughly, you know, that is subject to change. Get on their mailing list. Check them out on the St. Mary's website. Thank you so much, Rachel, for a delightful conversation about the wonderful women's ministry that is located at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Bloomington. And thank you to the listeners for listening to this episode. I hope it's meaningful to you. And until next weekend, God bless and have a great week. Rachel, again, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.